choir, you did a beautiful job. Thank you, and God bless you. You did a job that was to the honor and praise of the Lord. We have gathered to worship today. I want to take a moment to welcome each and every one who has come this way today. I thank you for coming and being here. Especially, I want to welcome those who've come to be with your mother here. Many of you have. Special day for her. And it's made a little more special by you being here with her. And I suspect that I speak for a great part of the mothers who are here to say probably the best gift you gave them is the fact you're here with them. Kind of cares our minds and hearts back as we get older to the younger years. When children were gathered by us on the pew, then they grow up, they go away, and establish their own homes, and we move on. What a blessing to have them back, to be here with us. And I'd like to ask all mothers here, if you would, to please stand just for a minute or two, a few minutes. Right now, if you would, mothers who are present, would you please stand? I want you to remain standing because I want to have a prayer with you. But I want to just say, do you know what a special group of ladies you are? Probably you don't. But all the rest of us, I think, do. And God has blessed you. And there are mothers who are not here that have already gone home to be with the Lord. But they've left their marks upon our lives, as you have. And I thank God for every one of you. Would you join with me now in a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, I do thank you today for each of these precious mothers who are gathered here in your sanctuary. I thank you, Lord, for how you've used them and blessed them in the rearing of their children, leading them toward you and in thy service. And I thank you, Lord, for the hopes we have because of them and the seeds they have planted in our hearts and lives. And I pray for them, Lord, because I know that there are great challenges that lie ahead for us in this nation. There are difficulties along the way. And yet it is for many the strength of the teachings and the seeds that were planted in the hearts and lives of their children that make them be able to have courage to go on when times become dark and difficult. So thank you, Lord, for having blessed them and used them. But now, Lord, I pray that in the future years that are ahead, you will continue to bless them, to be a shining light in the lives of all their families. We pray it all in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Be seated. Thank you. I think if you had been here this morning at 4:30, I might could have preached better than I can now. I woke up at 4:30 approximately this morning, and God stirred my heart and blessed my soul. And I just felt like, Lord, if I could just be right now there to preach, I could have said a lot of things that might, between then and now, have slipped away from my heart and mind. But I pray so earnestly that God would help me today to say what's on my heart. And I'm not sure that I'll do much preaching to you today. Might be just more of a heart-to-heart talk of trying to share some things with you mothers. And in particular, you mothers who have children still at home, and how valuable you are, and how much you are needed by our country, by our church, by our homes, and all of us who know and love you. And what a great role you can play in the way things turn out to be, and how God can greatly use you. And so I want to talk to you along those lines today. I have read earlier in the book of Deuteronomy, which is the repeating of the law, and it is the fifth and final book of the law and the last book that Moses wrote. And it was written somewhere in the proximity of 3,500 years ago. And you might in your mind be saying right now, well, preacher, what in the world? Did you read us something that was written 3,500 years ago? What does that have to do with our day and our time? Brothers and sisters, it has everything to do with our day and our time. It's the Word of God, and it's timeless. So if you'll turn with me to page 168, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, I'm going to share with you primarily verse number 7 today. It's really what's on my mind and heart to share with you. The 7th verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And that's an easy way to remember it. Book of Deuteronomy, the 5th book, the 6th chapter, the 7th verse. That's pretty easy, isn't it? But here it is. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Would you join with me for further prayer? Dear God, your word is inspired. It means more than we can imagine. Its relevance to our time and our day is tremendous. You wrote it through inspiration. You gave it to your people. You've kept it through the ages. And we should take it to heart today. Lord, help me to speak in your name to your people. And bless what I say to the hearts of each one here. But Lord, in a very special way, to each mother who has children still at home. Lord, you're to be glorified, you're to be praised, you're to be worshipped. And we need to impress that upon the hearts of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and each successive generation that marches on through time. So help us, O God, for your glory and the glory of Jesus. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. I realize, as I stand before you today to preach the Word of God, that there are times when things can be misunderstood and taken in the wrong way. And people can become offended by what preachers say. I say that by the voice of experience, because there have been times when people have taken offense at things that all ministers have preached, myself included, when in our hearts we never intended to offend anyone. Our goal, our purpose, our intent was to try to encourage hearts and to try to encourage people to serve God better. And yet, someone who did not understand that became offended. And so I say to you today that I do not intend to offend a single person here today. I love you too much for that. But I do intend to speak rather pointedly and directly to you today, because God has put it on my heart. And I would rather offend you than God. And I'm just being honest. I want to talk to you, mothers in particular, and I want to say this, I'm not leaving the fathers out now. You understand, I hope, that when two people get married in the sight of God, they become one. And that means that we share together in those roles of rearing the children. But the mother has her distinctive role, and the father has his. And so all of these things that have been written here are binding upon both parents. But I'm going to be addressing the younger mothers today more because this passage is about teaching the children. And mothers, you have a greater opportunity to do that than anyone I know. And so that's the purpose of becoming in this passage of Scripture. I want you to notice in the very first verse that I read earlier, verse number 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And I want you to notice that God is speaking through His servant Moses to the nation of Israel. Who were they? They were God's chosen people. And so today that simply parallels with the idea that I am speaking to the church as the spiritual community of God, the spiritual nation of God. We're a holy nation, a peculiar people, the Apostle Peter said. So I speak to you as the church, and I speak to you as to say that the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, I want you to notice in verse 5, the foundation upon which I'm going to build this message today. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Do you remember in the Gospel of Matthew that one day the Sadducees came to the Lord and wanted to have a loaded question and hoped it would backfire on him, and they proposed the idea of 7 brothers all marrying one woman, and all of them eventually died, as to try to explain why it was impossible for there to be a resurrection. Jesus simply said to them, "You don't know the word, the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God when you say that." And they didn't. The Pharisees were a strong religious sect of that day, and because he got the best of the Sadducees, no question about it. And so this Pharisee, who was a lawyer, thought, "Well, I can do a little better job. I got a better question." And so he came and he said, "Master, what's the great commandment of the law? What do you deem to be the greatest, most important commandment in all of the law of God? What do you think that is?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart." He used this same word right here. "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul." Thy soul and with thy might. And Jesus is quoting, as I understand it, from this particular verse of Scripture, when he tells him that to love God is the greatest commandment of all. And he goes on and adds something the man did not intend, and that is, he said, "And to love your neighbor as yourself." That's the second to it. But what I want you to see, dear mothers, today, that what I'm going to say to you this morning about child rearing can only be perceived from the eyes and the heart of loving God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. I'm not telling you today that I want you to love your children and manifest the love of your children in what I'm going to be saying to you. I think you already do that. I think I know enough about you to understand you love your children. I also believe you love God. But what I want you to see is that the more we love God, the more we will do what God is telling us to do. Do you understand? That the stronger our love for God, the stronger our commitment to God's Word. Kind of works hand in hand. And so the people, I'm going to say this, I don't mean to offend anyone, but I believe with all my heart the people who love God the most are the people who serve God the most faithfully. Now I understand there are exceptions to that. I know a man can love God or a woman with all their heart, and they're lying up somewhere in a hospital or a nursing home, and they can't be actively involved any longer. Their bodies have worn out with age, and they can't do the things they once did. And I understand that. But I believe that our commitment to God supersedes everything else. And the stronger our love for God and the stronger our commitment to God, the stronger the desire to obey God's Word. Notice verse 6, it says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Dear mothers, what I want to tell you today and what I want to say to you and teach you from the Word of God, I want it to go to your heart. I want you to store it up in your heart for tomorrow and the next tomorrow and the rest of your life. I want it to be in your heart. You remember in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." That's the way it is. If we take the word of God in our heart, it'll help guide us and we'll not be as prone to sin. All of this gets to this point that God is telling Israel, and I say it to mothers today with children at home, teach them diligently. Teach the law of God, the word of God, to your children. And teach them diligently to your children. I know some of you are thinking right now, "Preacher, you don't understand what it is to be a mother." You're right, I don't. I never can. But I'm a father. And a father's love and a mother's love is different. And the relationship between mother and children and father and children are different. I understand that. And mothers, I know you're buried in all the tasks that line up one after the other for you to have to do. But what I want to get across to you today is there's nothing you do that's more important to your children than what you teach them from the Word of God. Nothing. They'd be better off in dirty clothes with a clean heart if you couldn't wash their clothes. One of the greatest needs in this country and in this world today, and I'm convinced of this, is that mothers teach the Word of God to your children. Oh, it's nice if you want to teach your daughters how to cook, or even your sons. Some of them love to cook, and it's all right to teach them how to do that, to teach them how to wash clothes, teach them how to vacuum. There's a lot of things you can teach them. You can teach them maybe your hobbies, how to enjoy the same hobby you do. But dear sisters in Christ, to teach them the Word of God and the commandments of God are of the greatest importance in their lives. I do believe that with all my heart. He teaches us here how you're to do that. Teach them. You know what that word teach means? It means to whet or to sharpen. And when I was a boy now, I don't know how many of you girls did this, but a lot of women in the home have, you know, a sharpening rod, and they sharpen their knives. I remember as a boy taking my knife on an old sharpening stone, and I'd work that thing back and forth. Do you know what happens when you're sharpening a knife? Doesn't matter if a man or woman's doing it. Little by little, you're grinding a little of that metal away, and you're straightening up the edge, and that's when it becomes sharp. It takes a little grinding away and a little straightening up. You don't accomplish that in one strike on the rock or on the rod. It takes you doing it again on one side and then the other side. And eventually, you grind it to where you've got a honed edge. You get what God's saying, brothers and sisters? Mothers, they might not listen to you the first time you tell them. They might not listen to you the second time. But to teach means you're going to keep wetting it. You're going to grind away their little imperfections, and you're going to line up the things in their lives the way God wants them to be, and you're going to make their life sharp and true for God because you're teaching them things they need to know for the living of their lives and the blessing of God upon them. And so he says, teach them, which is a process of continued effort, because knives get dull again and they have to be resharpened, and they get dull and they have to be resharpened. And your children, dear mothers with children at home, yes, you'll teach them and they'll forget, but you teach them again and they forget, but you keep on and you keep on. And that's what he means when he says, teach them diligently unto your children. Because diligent means that it's to be repetitious. It's to be again, and it's to be again. And so, you know, you persist in it. And so you sharpen their lives. You hone their lives with the Word of God, and you sharpen their lives And you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, because you want that to get seed, be a seed that's planted down in their heart and their lives, so that for the rest of their days and years, it will carry them on through. Why is it so important that God would say in His Word that we are to teach the children His Word? Well, let me ask you this question. Are they going to teach it in the school systems? Not most of them. Are you going to hear it out there in most of the programming that you see on TV? I tell you, it's almost as though there's an unwritten law. Don't ever use the name of Jesus on television, unless it's religious broadcast. I mean, you know, the world out there doesn't love our Christ. The world doesn't believe in our God. They're not going to teach our children about God and about Christ, our Savior. How are they going to learn? We parents have to try to teach them. And I believe that mothers are the more effective of the two teachers. I really do. I believe I learned a lot more growing up from my mother than I did from my father. Mother was always there. And daddy was always working. That was the generation I grew up in. And most of the early years of Anna and my marriage, we were that way. You know, she was always there and I was outgoing, and the children needed her. And she took care of them, and I wasn't there to do much. I always thought I had somewhere to go and something I needed to do. And I tell you, if I could go back, I'd do it differently. I'd find more space and time for them. Fathers, don't make that mistake. This is not Father's Day yet, but don't make that mistake. But mothers tend to be there. Mothers are usually the one that sits in the meals. Not always, but usually. Was it has been in my home. I don't know if my children survived to have to eat daddy's cooking, because I'm not a cook, and it would have been pretty rough on them. But teach the children, mothers. The world's not going to do it, but I'll tell you what the world's going to do. They're going to teach your children some things they don't need to know. They're going to teach them some things that they shouldn't know. The world's going to plant seeds just as fast as it can in just about everything that's programmed out there. Not all. Almost everything. The majority of what's out there on television is planting seeds of immorality. It tells them it's all right to live an immoral life. It's all right to drink and take drugs and just waste your life away. That's what the world will tell them. And if you're not pulling those weeds up and planting something better, they're going to suffer for it. You say, well, preacher, I don't have time. I work hard. I don't have time to study the Bible like you do. You've got time. The church takes care of you. I do know and understand that. But we've all got some time, if we'll take it and read the Word of God. And listen, mothers and fathers, but mothers, when you're at the table with them, you know, it would mean more than you'll ever know if somewhere in the day, at breakfast, at supper, I can't tell you when, you've got to find the time, but find the time to read. Just if it's nothing more than a chapter out of the Bible, if you can't really explain it to them, if you just read the Word of God, the seeds are falling in their hearts. And it will help. It will plant some good seeds. And somewhere along the way, when you're reading something they saw on television that sounded like it's all right, this Word will deny that. And good seeds have been planted. I want to say this too to you mothers who have children at home. Thank God He put the church in the world. We're here to help you, parents, to teach your children. That's what the preaching of the Word of God is about. It's to help you share with them the Word of God, but we can't do for you what a parent can do for their children. We have Bible study. Because your children can come and study the Word of God and learn more about God. The church has Bible study. There are people who commit themselves to studying the lessons and trying to teach and trying to share what they've learned with your children. But if you don't use it, if you don't avail yourselves of church and Bible study and evening worship, if you don't bring your children and come with them, they're not going to get it. My dad came up in a difficult time. He was the baby of his family. And there were a number of boys that were older than him. And as those boys from the oldest down would get married and leave home and establish their own home, eventually it got down to where the only one left at home was my father. And my grandfather was a crippled man. He was injured as a young man, and back then they didn't go to hospitals and doctors, and he healed in his hip wrong, and he was left crippled. He could walk, but he couldn't plow. He could not follow a mule or a horse, and that's the way they lived. They lived on the farm, and they had to break the land, and they had to plant it, and they had to tend it, and plow it, and harvest it. And my grandfather couldn't do that, plowing. So the boys at home had to do it, and my father was the baby. And when the last one above him left home and got married and established his own family, my daddy had to quit school and start plowing the fields. There wasn't anybody left to do it. He had to. Grandma and granddaddy were dependent on him. He was dependent on that livelihood. So my father didn't get a good education. And my father, I don't remember him ever sitting us down and talking with us about what was in the Bible. Because he might not have been able to have read like he would like to have read. But I can tell you this. My daddy made sure we were at Bible study on Sunday morning, church on Sunday morning, and church on Sunday night. And he didn't send us, he came with us. There came a time later in Daddy's life with health problems and other discouragements. Dad kind of fell away from the church. But my mama never has. I can tell you my mama's in church today, if it's possible to get there. And my mama was there to keep us going in the straight way. She was the mother that taught so much to us. But here's what I want you to get. Mothers, you might say, well, I don't understand a lot about the Bible. I wish I did. I can teach them a little, but I can't teach them a lot. But you've got church, you've got Bible study, you've got Sunday evening. They need to be here or somewhere in worship. They need to hear the Word of God. They need to come in contact with it. And mothers, you can be a tremendous influence in that. I want to encourage you to do it. I know I'm adding on something that's not easy. You've got your hands full. Most mothers today are having to work at full-time jobs along like their husbands to just try to make ends meet and try to make a living. And it doesn't leave you much time because you come home and you've got to wash and you've got to do all the things in the house a lot of times. And I know your hands are full. But on the Lord's Day, I hope it will help you to come and bring your children to the house of God and help them to understand the Word of God that they can come. And I will tell you, I don't know how to say this. I wouldn't be where I am today if I had not had parents. They didn't ask me if I wanted to come to church. Can I explain that to you now? That my daddy never said, youngins, y'all want to go to church today? Never. He said, you better get up out of that bed and get ready. We're going to church. And I knew the consequences if I didn't. And I cannot tell you how thankful to God I am to have had a mom and a daddy who did that for me. The Word of God got planted in my heart. And it's grown and it lives there. And it blesses me every single day that I live. and Dad lived through hard times. We had some pretty rough ones. But Mom and Daddy raised 5 children, 3 boys, hard-headed boys, but they raised us. And 2 daughters. And I'm an ordained elder. And my brother younger than me is an ordained deacon. And the next sister to that, the younger of us, is married to a deacon. And 4 out of 5 of Mama's children are faithful to the Lord in church. I don't think that just happened. I think my mama and my daddy had a great and powerful influence in doing that. Here's what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And that's Proverbs 22, verse 6. The great wise man Solomon could say, that's what God wants us to know. We've got to train them up. If we want them to go in a certain direction, we've got to point them in that direction. We've got to train them up and show them the way and lead the way. Train up a child. And I'll go to this one. Although it doesn't mention the mother directly, it says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Parental responsibility. Fathers, help the mothers. Help them have time. Help them teach the children. Help them train them. Mothers, you've got that closest position to their hearts. And you can do what we cannot as fathers, I think. In most cases. So, teach them diligently. Now listen to what he says. Talk of them. This, you know, you don't have to be a theologian to do this. Talk of them. Shall talk of them, that is, of the laws of God, when thou sittest in thy house and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. You know what he's saying there? Talk to your children. Talk about things that are right and wrong. Talk about what the preacher preached. Talk about, enforce some things that you've heard or you've read somewhere. Reinforce it to the children. Let them know that mom and daddy is on the same page of the Word of God. And so teach them. Teach them. By coming, being a part of it. You teenagers, I want to tell you this. This was a job my mom and daddy did on me. When I got to be a teenager and I was old enough to drive, I remember this vividly. I had some friends that was going to the beach on Sunday, and I went with them. Did you know when I went? After church got over. You know when I came back? Before church on Sunday night. Do you know why? When my father asked for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You put your feet under my table. In essence, he was saying, you're going to do what I tell you. And so, that's nothing to me now. That's what my parents instilled in me. That's the way I was brought up. And I'm going to say this. You ever think about a preacher's children? We've got some here today, don't we? A number of them, in reality. My daughter being one of them. Sister Linda. Stanley. I hope I don't miss anybody. Just off my head. My children had to go to church on Sunday night when other people's children got to stay home. How do you think that rubbed my children? There wasn't no Jubilee parties about it, what you reckon? But do you know why my children went to church on Sunday night? Not because I was a preacher. Because that's the way I was raised, and I believed it was the thing God would have me to do. And if I had never preached a sermon to this day, I do believe that my upbringing would have had me in God's house on Sunday night. Because that's what I was taught was right. And I found it to be true in God's Word, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And I'm going to tell you the determination of my heart. I'm getting to be an older man. I'm now becoming one of the older preachers. And the day will likely come when I cannot preach anymore. But if God gives me health, I still want to be in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I want to be there to worship the God who loved me and saved me, gave His Son to die for my sins. I want to be there to worship and serve and honor the Lord with my life. If God let my health and strength hold out, even beyond my preaching years, I want to be in the house of God. And I tell you, it's narrowing down to, you know, and I'm beginning to wonder, will I have a place to go on Sunday night? I mean, it is really. There's so many churches no longer have Sunday night service. A lot among our own people don't have Sunday night services anymore. And I wonder, in another 10 years, will I be where I can get to one of them that does have Sunday night service? I sure hope and pray so. Teach your children, mothers and fathers, but mothers, you got that special place near their heart. Teach your children. Require of them what you know is right in your heart. And be there to show them what you know God wants you to teach them by your action as well as your words. Be committed to God you love first and to your children next. God help you. I just want to try to encourage your heart. God will give you grace and strength to do it. I know that He will. My mama, it wasn't easy on her to raise five of us young'uns. And I remember when we pumped water into a tub, and mama scrubbed them like this. I remember what my mama boiled my daddy's mechanic greasy clothes in a wash pot. I was little, but I remember it. And it took time to do it. But if in our hearts we really want to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of God, if we really want to train them up in the way they should go, if we want to counteract all that this world is planning in their precious hearts, if we want to do that, it's a challenge, I know, but God will help us to meet the challenge. And God bless you. Now, every parent, regardless of whether children are at home or not, we can still teach them, can't we? We still encourage our children, let them know we love them. We're never going to leave them nor forget them. We can help with our grandchildren and great-grandchildren as they come along. We can help our children out in the rearing of them by each generation supporting the other and doing what we can. So, mothers today, God bless you. I know it's difficult. I don't understand fully what the heart of a mother is. But I know you love your children, and I know you want the best for them. And I'm just telling you today, there's very little, if anything, in their life more important than you getting that in their hearts and minds. And God give you grace and help you to do it. And know I'm praying for you. And anytime I can help you, anytime you say, one of my young'uns asked a question, preacher, and I don't know the answer, come over here and talk to him. I'll try to do it. If I can, I'll help. God bless you. It's my prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.